everyone. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. And I'll tell you what, these people, Pia and Cullen, are channeling some wonderful higher beings or being, I believe it's beings. And the books that you have sent me, Conversations with Larkma and Remember Who We are really paradigm shifting. What can I say? They're really taking my thinking beyond. And part of it is the work that you're doing with Larkma, bringing Larkma through, is actually giving us a tremendous sort of overview of what's going on in the universe as well as what's going on in our personal inner universe, you know. So I'm very excited to talk to both of you, Pia Smith Orleans and Cullen Baird Smith. I'm just so happy to be spending time with you again.
Thank you, Veronica. We're very delighted to be with you. It's wonderful.
Well, and before I ask you how all of this started, I wonder about Larkma. As I was reading, I was going, well, what is their whole focus is helping us be transformational beings. Is that right?
Yes.
But I think
they're helping humans evolve.
Helping humans evolve. Well, here's the other thing I kept thinking is, what is their role out in the universe to be coming to the earth? It seemed like they're part of a whole, something greater as well. What do you think of that?
I'd say they are part of a whole, and they're trying to bring us on board to recognize that we are part of the whole also, that we are cosmic citizens, because Earth has this very egocentric viewpoint that we're the only intelligent life in the universe, and they refuse to consider anything else in the universe that might be a minute bit of consciousness. So I think the Pleiadians laugh a little bit, and they're trying to educate us, get us on board to recognize that we're only part of the whole. There are many conscious beings in the universe, and we're all related.
Part of what they are doing to help humanity is to let us know that our evolutionary process here on Earth as humans is not, as Pia just said, the only game in town. They themselves, long, long ago, went through an evolutionary process somewhat like ours, not exactly, but what their role is to help us more easily go through our evolutionary process by simply being more conscious beings, making better choices, being more realistic about who we are and how we affect the rest of the cosmos.
Well, I love that. Now, before we get much farther, we better introduce who you are. Pia, you've been a psychologist for quite a while. And Cullen, you've been an anthropologist or a forensic anthropologist, is that right?
And an archaeologist, yes.
And an archaeologist. So both of you have been plumbing the depths of the human psyche from different perspectives, eh?
Absolutely.
How does this relate to it? Does it feel like it's a part of the whole picture, like you've lived your whole lives for this expansion?
Yes, I think that's a very good way to put it, that we have lived our lives for this expansion, because ever since we were small children, we always knew there was more than what was being presented. I mean, I've been speaking to beings from other realms since I could talk. It's not an unusual thing for me to be talking to the Pleiadian group. It's just that it's the first time it's happened to Cullen and I simultaneously.
Both of our childhoods were filled with unusual experiences. When we were children, we spoke to the David kingdom, we spoke to the angelic kingdom, we spoke to fairies, little people. It's really no surprise that in our later years, we were contacted by Larkma to do this work, because we've led pretty unusual lives all along.
Oh, you have you? I mean, through your careers and so on. Did you admit when you were being a psychologist, for example, Pia, that you were having perceptions of different, like divas or different beings in different levels of consciousness or different vibrational levels?
You mean that I tell my colleagues I was hearing voices?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, indeed I did. And I was fortunate enough to be in a city. I was in Boulder, Colorado at that time when I was practicing, when Larkma came to us. And I was in a very enlightened environment. And my colleagues, rather than ridicule me, were all intensely interested and supportive. I also contacted people who were on my PhD committee that I had become good friends through the years in San Francisco, California, and said, guess what's happened? And they said, what? And Cullen and I told them, they said, oh, come down. We want to meet the Pleiadians. So we took the Pleiadians, we took Larkma to California also with the university faculty and met with different people and let them interview them. And they actually wrote a couple of articles about Conversations with Larkma, which is the book we're talking about tonight, in psychology journals reviewing the expansion of human consciousness. It was a very exciting time.
Wow. We've both been really lucky, Veronica. In my particular situation, in the profession that I was in, I was involved with a lot of unusual people. We had spiritual conversations about past civilizations. We had spiritual conversations about different cultures. So for both of us, it wasn't really quite a rocky road entering this kind of lifestyle that we've been involved with for the past 12 or so years. We actually had people interested from the very beginning of what we were involved with.
Wow, you had just some sort of professional credibility, which I think helps as well, eh? But I just keep getting excited.
Yes.
That both of you must have burst into even more awareness, as if it was already around you, but you got to go into it. Thank you to Larkma. And that's very exciting. A really nice trajectory or pathway for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's nice that we're doing it together, because from the very beginning, Larkma made it very clear to us that they would not talk to one of us or the other of us. They talk to us simultaneously. We have to be touching, physically touching, holding hands. And there's a very good reason for this. Larkma tells us that Cullen and I, which we already know, we're so opposite in our outer personalities. We hold the same view of the world, the same love, the same heart space. But in our outer personalities of the way that we do things, we always see things from an opposite view. And Larkma says, because they're using what they call the libraries of our brains, the libraries of our minds, to choose their words, when they come through both of us simultaneously, there is absolutely no room for any human filterization, because anything I might think as a human is filtered out by whatever Cullen is thinking as a human, and vice versa. So it's a very pure stream of energy that comes through when they have a message to share.
We're not unique as channelers. There's so many people channeling so much good information at this time on Earth. We're truly not unique in that, but we are different in the way we do it because of what Pia just explained, because we have to be sitting, touching each other. And it's an amazing thing, because I think it's not only that we cancel out each other's opinions or beliefs, but I think the male-female gender, I think the male-female gender aspect, that we bring both the divine feminine and the divine masculine together, also helps in this.
I think it's wonderful also that a lot of the themes that Larkma brings through in these conversations and in remembering who we are, it's all around finding unity in times of opposition and so on. And I go, well, you guys are a perfect example of that, choosing the unity for the sake of the wisdom and for the sake of the expanded heart, hey?
Yes.
I love that. I'm going to jump around because I've got all kinds of notes here and we're not going to be able to accomplish it all. We know that, right? But one of the things that fascinates me these days, amongst many things, is in our evolution and our transformation, is the whole idea of, for example, the Fibonacci series of numbers and the messages that come through the way life goes together. Because it said, your description of the Fibonacci numbers, which is the numbers adding up to I can't remember exactly what it is now. It's like 1 + 0 = 0. I don't want to go into the whole description, but that beautiful, shape that we see, and we know it's the golden mean and all of that. But they said that that is to show the pathway of humanity being unified, right?
Yes, absolutely. The Fibonacci series is a very simple energy. It's just each number added to its next number creates a pattern, so that there's a pattern. So 1 + 1 = 2, and then you add the 1 and the 2, and the next number is 3, and then the 2 and the 3 = 5, and then the 3 + 5 = 8. So it's an additional pattern. That's the Fibonacci series. But I think the basis of that understanding is that we are all connected, mm-hmm. and the numbers that we're using to measure life are also connected, and they have meaning, and that numerical meaning is magical. We just don't understand it. We treat it as simple arithmetic, and it's so much bigger than simple arithmetic.
Mm-hmm. And it's a living kind of mathematical series in a way. That's how I kind of interpreted it here, moving humanity along its own path. Now, I want to jump from that into the geometric forms that you were receiving in your sleep one night, Pia. I'm very interested in sacred geometrics. I'm not as knowledgeable as some people, but we use them in a meditation I lead. And the way you were, the way you talked about the geometric forms that were in your mind, and the way Larkma spoke about it, was there fractals that came through and different shapes. And I thought, if you could just talk about that for a bit, what does it mean? What is it all?
You're touching on a really rich and deep resource, because I have been a vivid dreamer all of my life.
Lucky
you.
As
a psychologist, I'm quite aware that there are different levels of dreams. There's the processing dreams that we do, and then there's dreams that are prescient dreams that tell us things to watch out for or guide us. There's that level of dreaming. And then there's a whole nother level of dreaming that I relate to as bringing forth information to help me see a larger universe. And it doesn't really matter whether it comes in a fractal form or spirals or colors. I think the one you're referring to specifically had to do with colors that are showing up as different places in a five-pointed star, and understanding that that five-pointed star had different energies coming to help us understand how we are related to the 5 points of Venus.
Oh, see, and I don't remember that particular section, but what I did write down is that the thoughts, the fractals, create telepathy, and that useful tools for us to connect with our thinking and our intention, I believe.
Fractals are smaller versions that emerge into larger and larger versions of exactly the same thing. So it's a bit like taking the inner world and seeing that it's related to the outer world, that it's the old symbol of as above, so below. Uh-huh. So if you're seeing something in a dream state, it's showing you how you're connected, how you are connected to something larger than yourself.
Larkma has talked about symbols and clues and metaphors for years, and they tell us, both personally, just talking to Pia and me personally, but they also talk about this in public often, that there are all these symbols and clues around us, but we're not very good as humans to actually notice them. But they say if you quiet yourself, whether you're in a meditative state or walking in nature or just being quiet, that these symbols are all around us, and that if we look at them and if we use them, they can help us decipher and understand a much, much larger part of who we are. And they kid us. They laugh and they say, humans just aren't very good at this. And what we're trying to help you do is to see these symbols and these clues and these metaphors, because they're messages. They're pieces of information, whether they come from dreams or daydreams or conversations or just walking around and seeing things visually, that they help us to become more whole. They help us to decipher the difference between duality and unity, as you brought up a minute ago. And we need to be more conscious of all these symbols because they're all around us. We can see animals. We can see birds fly by us, or we can see a wild animal in the forest. All of these are clues to give us more information about who we are and how we can exist in a better, more unified way here on Earth.
Well, now I want to jump back to one thing we were saying, which was creating telepathy, which is what I had read in the book. And then I'm saying, is it so that in our thoughts, these fractals in our thoughts come out and become a part of the consciousness that's out there because our thoughts are a part of it? So when we see messages from animals and birds and all kinds of symbols in nature, is that not actually and this sounds preposterous, but it's actually in union with who we are? You see what I mean? It's like as if the fractals are there.
Absolutely.
It absolutely could be. But I wouldn't want everyone to think that every time they have dreams of fractals that it is a message to an expansive state of being, because some people will dream of fragmented aspects of themselves in order to join them together.
Oh, thank you.
It's a wide and varied palette, and it relates to each person individually as to what they need for their evolution.
I like that. Thank you very much for that. I'm still going to do more research on fractals. I thought that was pretty darned interesting. Thank you so much. Who is our higher self? For example, Larkma was saying we are sometimes the ones, and sometimes it's the higher self, right?
The higher self, I would say, is the aspect of us that does not judge, does not have expectations, does not do anything that is not for the highest good of all. The highest self is very much involved in our highest level of being, what we will become when we are cosmic citizens, the aspect of us that is not separate from all that is.
I think it's a guiding system. Some people call our high self angel. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do with guidance about making the right choices, using consciousness that's constantly being fed to us. We are so connected to things other than just our human experience here on Earth. Mm-hmm. We're connected to information, other beings, other scenarios, other realms all the time. And I think our high self angel helps guide us towards that wisdom on a regular basis.
I think the high self also, what Martin has taught us is that the high self, although it is an aspect of ourselves, the high self is a functional part of ourselves that brings in other guidance from others who are there watching and helping us too. So the high self can say, we need a little bit of help over here. Let's get this message into this person in a different way. And another guide or spirit will help.
And I guess what I was trying to figure out when I asked that question, because I use the higher self a lot, but I'm just going, it was very interesting how you wrote this or how Larkma said it, that was like made me very aware of we all have the high self, and it is kind of associating with many, many levels of consciousness. That's its business as well, is it not?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I found that really kind of, I guess I just get thinking about one thing at a time here. So,
I think the last thing I said about ourselves is it's the angelic part of us, that it's actually an attachment to the angelic kingdom.
Oh, that's wonderful. I really appreciate that. I often think it's the part of us that knows everywhere we've ever been and everywhere we're going and how to be better.
Yes. Yes.
Completely.
So here's another thing, is all the way through, we're learning about coming out of competition or learning how not to be in competition. Is that Larkma's one of Larkma's major points?
Absolutely. They want us to learn that cooperation is a higher value than competition. Change our whole society if we could get that point across. It would end Little League completely.
And so it should, eh?
Yeah. It's it's really the basis for understanding unity consciousness, because when humans wake up enough to enter the idea of the importance of unity consciousness, there's no need for competition or greed or any hierarchical kind of design in how we relate not only to each other, but to everything else, to the David kingdom, the natural world, everything that is part of nature, of which we obviously are a definite active part. That removal, or that walking away from competition or greed or anything that separates us, is something that Larkma is trying to get us to understand, because we cannot reach a unified conscious place unless we make sure that every choice we make, whether that is in a thought form or an actual physical action, if it's not coming from the highest good of all,
Hi, was that for the highest good of all?
I think that had something to do with the weather, Davis.
We don't know, but it's interesting. Sometimes when we're in the most important philosophical spiritual discussions, sometimes these interviews get disconnected, and we're not quite sure why this is happening.
I'm not sure either, but it's fascinating. I want to say this. I'm going to throw this in. We spoke a little bit about the craziness of our government and all that the last time we talked. And we honored the fact that the systems are being pulled down, pulled apart. And that's got to be good for us ultimately, for the highest good of all. I'm referring to that. And then I realize, what does Larkma have to say about how difficult that's going to be for a lot of people just to adjust? What do we do to get through a really, really huge amount of turmoil where it gets so people attack each other, it gets so people are scared, gets so people are poor and broke, right?
The key starting point, Larkma always says, is to eliminate fear, that you have to get the fear out of the way. And to do that, you have to start looking at, what am I afraid of most? And most people are either afraid of dying or being hurt, losing someone they love, or not being loved themselves. Those are the top fears. Mm. So Larkma has been having audiences around the world work with letting go of fear for years. In fact, we're having a special seminar on that this weekend, on just the very topic of how to let go of your fear.
Where are you
having
that?
It's on our website. It's called Peace of Heart, and it's a collaborative venture with another deep friend of ours who brings forth an energy called Channeling Love.
Okay.
And it'll be a conversation between Channeling Love and Larkma about how to get rid of human fear.
Good. Okay, keep going.
Back to your question. In these troubled times, people do have a tendency to get frustrated, angry, and scared, just plain scared. And if you start working with your fear now, before things do absolutely fall apart, it's much easier to take a deep breath and say, okay, this challenge is in front of me, how can I best respond? Instead of moving into emotional or physical reactive patterns, actually think about from the heart what needs to happen here. Mm-hmm. So getting rid of fear is the starting point.
That makes sense, because the whole idea is for the greater good. We haven't lived that way, so all of that is disruptive for starters, right?
Yes, it is.
And it's possible that some huge challenges, like a political upheaval, a financial upheaval, geophysical problems, whether that is weather changes, earthquakes, volcanic activity, mm-hmm. though those challenges, instead of us looking at them as problematic, those very challenges may help to bring all of us together more closely, because we're going to have to cooperate if things change so radically that we don't know how to survive in that kind of an atmosphere. So actually, all of these things that look like they could be problematic may actually be the catastrophic examples of how we can unify ourselves and actually do a better job of getting along.
And like it brings us back to what we were talking about a little. Yes. But it takes us back to what you mentioned earlier about cooperation rather than competition.
Right. That's so important, isn't it? I would really love it if you could channel for us. We would love to meet Larkma while we're on the air. Not that you aren't interesting, because we've got a billion things we could talk about, right?
Talk about it with them too. We will introduce them to you. It'll take us a few moments, and they will introduce themselves, actually.
Thank you.
Then you can ask them whatever you like for your listeners.
Thank you so much.
Hello, dear ones. We are Larkma, and we are here because we love you. How may we share our perspectives to enlighten you and your listeners on this occasion?
Well, welcome to the show, Larkma. We are using a lot of your information to really discuss the evolution of our species. I wonder if we can bring in the subject right off the bat, because we'll run out of time, the subject of death. Because as we talk about Earth turmoil, it seems like a lot of people might leave the planet. And I just think how we fight for survival is sometimes a little over the top. I wondered if you had anything to say about that.
Well thought out. Yes, a very good question. What we would offer is that everything is energy, and when you are here in human form on Earth, your energy takes a particular format. You are in a form that you think is everything that you are, but you are much more than just the physical form. You are energy who has taken a physical shape. When a person dies, their energy continues to live. You do not die in essence of all of who you are. Only the physical form does not exist in the same manner any longer. So the essence of you never dies. It's still continual as energy. That being said, we know that people are frightened when they lose their physical form because they are so attached to it. They think that if their physical begins to fail them, that they will die and their consciousness also. They will not be present anymore. But that is not actually true. Additionally, we call the process of changing energy ascension. And ascension, in the old way that humans have used it for thousands of years, has always occurred through death. You ascend into a different form through the process of death. Mm-hmm. But now, in these energies bringing a higher consciousness to humanity, you have the opportunity to ascend in a different form and keep your physical body with you, and ascend in a way that your physical form and your light body form are melded together, more like lighter being, not so dense as you are in your physicality, but still with physical essence and reality. You may do that if you so choose. There are certain things that you have to do to attain this, and not every human will choose to do those things, because most humans are very much entrenched in their patterns and beliefs of behavior. So, ascension now is by choice. You may choose the accustomed way of ascending through the process of death, where the human form dies, but you continue in another energetic form. Or you may work to change how your ascension happens and move into what we call a rainbow body, which, as we said, is the combination of your light body, your etheric self, with your physical form in a way that is not so dense, but more full of light. The choice is each human's. Each one gets to make that choice.
So you would use like a star tetrahedron light body activation and then use it to choose to use it as a vehicle to move out of this realm?
No, not really. That would be using something outside of yourself to make the transition. Our goal in helping humanity understand the mighty choices that you have is to teach you about the power you have within you through every choice you make. So in order to achieve a rainbow body and to ascend in this manner, you have to begin to make more and more conscious choices for the highest good of all. Such things as changing your thought patterns, your belief systems, your diet, perhaps, many, many changes that are for the highest good of all and at a higher vibratory rate. Your body naturally begins to change when you do this sort of thing. And so you become different, not dead, not transitioned through a stargate, just different. So you feel different, you think differently, you make choices for the highest good of everyone, and you automatically reach a higher vibratory state. That allows you to access ascension through another medium, through your own vibration.
Wonderful, wonderful. Larkma, how do we look to you? Do you see us as vibrational beings, or do we look like human beings? Or how are you? I'm just curious about your perceptions.
That's a very good perspective to ask. First of all, when we see someone or connect with someone, we like to engage with their heart tone, their heart song. That is the tone of voice that they use and their own name, and that gives us an essence of what their energy is all about. We call that tone that they use in their voice when saying their own name their heart song. And when they do that, an individual or group, we can get an essence of the energy that is present, where we are more able to see from the heart what's going on with the individual person or within a group. Looking at the species as a whole, we look at the heart that we see for the species, and we ask, how is the heart developing? How is the consciousness rising? Or how is the consciousness stuck in various forms? The consciousness can be stuck in rigid belief systems or thought patterns. The consciousness can be stuck in emotional reactions. Or the consciousness can be stuck in physical form where the person is only paying attention to the physical realm. All of these are places where their energy may be stuck. But when we look at the species or an individual of your species, we see the energy and we look to see how it is vibrating according to what percentage of your heart you are using to make your choices. Are they conscious? Are they unconscious? That's how we see you. Varying waves of energy that are either higher vibratory, lighter form with brilliant colors, or a duller color and a denser form with a lower vibration.
So en masse, I guess you see quite a great selection of colors, eh? Do you see colors as representative of our frequencies? Is that it?
Well, we see that when a person is completely balanced, there are many, many colors, which is why we refer to the rainbow body, because you have the essence of all colors that are available to you, balanced and harmonious, interacting with your energetic being. You are fed by these energetic colors, so you have a myriad of colors around you. If we see a particular person who is focused on one particular energy in one particular moment, let's take the example of someone who's watching a beautiful sunset. That person may feel so much joy at the sunset that around them you will see the color of yellow, the color of joy, all around their entire aura, because they are in the experience of joy, and it reflects out of their energy as the color yellow. Or if a person is stuck in a place of needing healing, they can call an energy to them. They can call the emerald green healing into their realm and say, I need help and assistance with this. Please let me use this energy to support what I need. So there are many, many ways that people can use color and reflect color back from themselves according to how they are responding moment to moment in life.
I love that. So what are we like right now, we Earth people? Are we, is there a great proportion of us becoming attuned to your kind of wisdom, the unity, even the color? I see a lot of color in different people, and I use it in my healing work. And I'm going, are there many, many, many of us doing that at this point on the planet? Are we getting somewhere is my ultimate question.
The ultimate question, are you getting somewhere, cannot be answered by us. And the reason for that is that you make conscious choices moment by moment. And every moment that you are living is what's important, the eternal now, because that is what defines the next moment. As we look at your planet, we see many people who are fixated on the physical as being the only thing that is real, although they do acknowledge mental supremacy, as if the mental thought or the knowledge that they attain is the highest that's possible, and totally disregarding the energy in the heart. But not to be discouraging, we would like to answer the first question by saying, yes, more people are beginning to become aware that the energies on the planet are different, and they are open to more opportunities and more possibilities for change. And they're beginning to think about those cycles and patterns they need to break. And they're beginning to feel those energies that are at a higher vibration and say, this is nice. I want to keep that. And they're beginning to work with their shadows so that they can bring more light into them. More and more people are doing that. But there's a long way to go for all of the species to be able to reach that point.
But it does help if a bunch do it. Does that not cause waves of connection? For example, if a bunch of us do a lot of the work, the light work or whatever we call it, doesn't it have a huge impact on the people that might not be awake? Does it help them wake up as well?
It absolutely makes a difference, and it does help. But it's not about a large number of people doing it. It's about how high is the vibration of those who are doing it. Because you have a greater power and a higher vibration, you make a bigger difference. If you have, let's say, 15 people, and they are all sending out love and light into a particular situation, that situation is likely to change. If you have 150 people who are ranting and raving about something they don't like, that situation is not likely to change, even though the numbers are larger. So it's not about the numbers. It's about the essence of the higher vibration. That's how to measure it.
That makes incredible sense. Do you see that the Earth, I know you speak of the Earth is a living being, a living conscious being, is she not? And you speak about her being in pain, suffering, and damaged. Is it possible for all of this to be healed?
Anything is possible. Everything is possible. But the choice, as we say over and over again when we speak to humanity, the choice is yours. It will not work to wait on someone else to come and save you, whether that be a messiah, a savior, an extraterrestrial ship that you hope will arrive, or a new political leader. It does not, will not work if you hope someone else will save you. You are the ones who get to choose what happens next. And that happens by making conscious choices in every moment. If you find yourself yelling at an angry voice at someone on the road, you're not in your highest vibration, are you? Instead, if you stay out of harm's way, get out of the angry driver's way and say, that person's having a terrible day, I'll send them love and light, your vibration goes up and it helps the planet. So the most important work any of you can do is to raise your own individual vibration, which therefore radiates out to support and help others do the same thing.
And does that radiate inwardly to support Gaia?
Yes, everything that you do does support Gaia as well. We have often told humans that you are the neurological system of the planet. So if you're angry and upset, the planet is angry and upset. If you are calm and peaceful, the planet is calm and peaceful.
Well, that's wonderful. I guess we could just practice that, eh? I was looking for five-pack. When we talk about the neurological center of the Earth, human beings are learning a lot about the brain and the transformative qualities of the brain. And I noticed you were writing about 5-pack, which is the combination of brain aspects, hypothalamus, thalamus, pons, pituitary, and pineal. I wondered if you could talk about that, because when you describe what stress does to those, or how stress there can emanate through the body, and I feel like it keeps our frequency really low. I wondered if you could talk about that. Can we be in charge of our brain?
Yes, you can be in charge of your brain and the frequency being at a higher vibration, but not by studying the brain. When the five pack becomes imbalanced, the way to correct it is through the heart. The way to correct it is by sending energies of love, joy, trust, and compassion, which will help re-regulate what's out of balance within the brain. However, we have some outside influences that do impact your five pack, which you are not aware of, and we have been speaking to humanity about it lately. You have so many radio frequencies and EMF frequencies and cell phones and internet frequencies interfering with your entire neurological system that every human on the planet is being bombarded and their five packs are being detrimentally affected. Mm-hmm. Until you become beings who are more involved with nature and less involved with technology, you will see more and more disharmony, more and more imbalances in the brain, which will then relate into physical disharmony as well. The answer to this is turning to the heart and putting down the cell phones, stepping away from the computer, and stepping into nature. Become balanced with Earth because you are part of the Earth. Remember that you are not enjoying nature. You are nature. When you turn your ideas back to that and let your heart guide you, then indeed you can rebalance the five pack of your brain. But as long as you allow more and more EMF frequency and radio frequencies and internet waves to enter into your entire environment, the more you will become imbalanced. Particularly dangerous is the new 5G that's being talked about as being implemented in several countries, which will affect every human on the planet. If that is impacted, your world will have a much harder strike and struggle to become balanced than it does now.
Now you, when I'm channeling you, or I'm listening to you being channeled through Pia and Cullen, I feel this wonderful, wonderful energy. Now, if we learn to reach up with our mind and pull down and attract higher beings and higher consciousness at a vertical level, would that not come through us and offset these frequencies that are coming from technology? Or could it?
Absolutely.
So maybe
yes,
that's
but
the solution.
It takes a tremendous amount of focus and attention to be able to do that because you are working with something that is bigger than you are at your current developmental level. Most humans on the planet are not developed enough to shine out the love and light and to draw it back to them at the magnitude that is necessary. It is absolutely possible, but you have to begin by making conscious choice after conscious choice after conscious choice and determining to stay in that place of calm and peace and love in your heart. And then you can draw it down into you more easily.
Well, that's a big job, even for the people that I know are very dedicated to rising in frequency. It's a big job to always be in choice, but we're working on it, aren't we?
It is a big job, but not in the way you define it. The big job is just becomes much smaller when you recognize you're in duality. You're not going to be in a state of peace and calm every single moment. But the way to simply return to it over and over again makes the big job seem much more simple. It's not that you have to stay there all the time. You're human beings. You live in duality. You're not expected to stay there all the time. You're expected to return to that heart space over and over and over again until it becomes more of a part of you.
That made the job much clearer. Thank you. And it's also much kinder. It gives us permission to be a little off track, but we can keep going back. Now, let's talk a little bit. We don't have too much time left, which is unfortunate because we could go on forever. But we do have another interview coming up next week. So, but I would like you to talk a bit about emotions. One of the things I find mesmerizing at times is loneliness. And I was born with feeling lonely, and I loved what you channeled through about loneliness. And I wondered if you could talk about that. I was told that loneliness meant I was seeking my path and my truth. And what you wrote was something similar. Can you talk about that?
Well, we'll start with your question about emotions. we see that there are two very different feeling states that humans experience. There is the feeling states that include love, joy, trust, compassion, patience, peace, bliss, all of those wonderful things that make you feel good. And then there are the ones that make you feel not so good, frustrated, jealousy, anger, sadness, grieving, all of those that make you not feel good. The emotions, from our perspective, are a gift. They are the opportunity to recognize you are out of balance, out of harmony. And the reason you're out of harmony is because of something you are thinking that is not true. Either you're thinking that person did a bad thing and you're judging them and it's making you angry, and you shouldn't be judging them at all. You should simply say they're doing it differently and I wouldn't make that choice, mm-hmm. but don't get excited about it. Mm-hmm. Or you're saying, oh, I feel terrible, I'm so sad, and you're thinking, why doesn't that person love me? Why am I not loved? And instead, you should be thinking, oh, I don't need to feel this way. I have all the love I need inside of me. If somebody else wants to share their love, that's perfect. But I don't need them to. So you see, emotions, when you feel that discomfort, are showing you that you're thinking something that is not in alignment with the truth. So they are a gift. We call them signposts to help you get back on track. Mm-hmm. As for loneliness, we would say that you are seeking the higher part of yourself when you feel lonely. You're missing something that you know is present and that you're capable of, but it seems detached from you. But it's not detached from you. And the more you love yourself, make friends with yourself, work through your shadows, follow your heart, the more the loneliness goes away. And one of the greatest ways to chase loneliness away is to be able to be in nature and recognize you are connected to all that is. So it's impossible to be lonely when you recognize you're a part of every single thing. Does that make sense?
It sure does. Thank you for that. So that takes me to healing. Healing is a very interesting word because it has a lot to do with what you were just saying about emotions and making peace with loss and so on. Do you have other commentaries to make on healing? What will it take for us to heal ourselves?
We did write an entire book about healing the human condition, which is all about what will it take to heal yourselves. The book, Remembering Who We Are, the subtitle is Larkma Speaks on Healing the Human Condition. Mm-hmm. And it has all the aspects that you need to know to understand about healing. And basically, it means disassembling all of your dysfunctional beliefs and choosing healthier new beliefs that are more aligned with the larger reality and the truth. And as you do that, you begin to make choices that are better for your total healing, emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. Your choices become different because you're taking in a different set of belief systems and letting go of those belief systems that are based on competition and fear and greed and jealousy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It sure does. So where was I going to go with that? We have to trust ourselves. Oh, shadow work. You were talking about shadow work. But so when we're doing healing and we're healing the whole soul and so on, and you talk about beliefs and belief systems, I'm kind of going around because I'm trying to throw it all into a ball here. But our belief systems kind of cage us, don't they? And is shadow work releasing belief systems, or is that two different things? How do you relate that?
Shadow work is about releasing dysfunctional beliefs and dysfunctional patterns of behavior. Sometimes a person will step right into the middle of the shadow by having a dysfunctional reaction to something someone else does. It's not that they believe something particularly, it's that they're in the habit of responding inappropriately. That's a dysfunctional pattern, and that's part of the shadow. So they have to examine, why do I always act this way when I would really like to react in a different way? And that's letting go of an old pattern. And that will lead you to where the dysfunctional beliefs are. Oh, well, it must be because I believe that. Is that really true? And then you come to your heart, and your heart says, maybe not. Maybe there's another perspective. And so you can release the belief system and the dysfunctional pattern of behavior. Both are part of releasing the shadows.
Well, that sure makes sense because we're very kind of caged and identified by our beliefs, aren't we, a lot of times? And it's good to look through those and see that we could get rid of them. Anyway, I think our time is up.
Yes, and I
just love this, and I would really love to talk with you more, which we will do. And I appreciate you both and Larkma so very, very much. And
we thank you. And we would like to say that all of your listeners who would like to engage with us may find on our website that Pia and Cullen have created a way to engage on our international live calls that we have once a month. We speak to the world about what's going on, and we accept questions and answer them for all who participate. It's on our website, which is under our name. You can find it, and we will speak to everyone who's interested.
How wonderful. That will be... I'll do that. I'm sure many people will. Cullen?
We will say goodbye for now. We never say goodbye. We say good always. We love you.
And we love you. Thank you so much, Larkma. Go ahead, Cullen. Do you have something to say?
Yes, it takes us a moment just to come back completely back into ourselves. What I would like to say is thank you for the opportunity to allow Larkma to speak to your listeners so that they can have a sense of what other beings who are here to help really have to say and how they can support us from a much, much larger perspective. So we thank you as Pia and Cullen, and Larkma thanks you in helping everyone move towards a more unified, more conscious way of being.
And Larkma doesn't spell. They don't use spelling to say things, but they did mention their website. And I will spell for your listeners. It's www.laarkmaa.com.
And thank you for that. And I want to say thank you to Larkma and to Pia and Cullen for the love that you send out through these airwaves. I feel it so strongly, and we all need that. Training wheels for us all. Thank you so much.
Thank
Our
you.
Our pleasure.
All right, we'll talk again. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for listening to Paradigm Shifters. These are wonderful Paradigm Shifters. And you can get hold of any podcasts and so on veronicaentwistle.com. Thank you again for listening.